I think one of the biggest questions for a lot of Christians is, what does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? I know there are people who have spoken to me over the years and asked me, what is, you know, how do I know what God's will is? What am I supposed to do? And you know, when you look at preachers and you hear them talk and so forth, a lot of times you can get the impression that they never go through times of doubt. Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. That's not true. And if a preacher stands up and he says, I never doubt the will of God. Well, that's you know, hallelujah. I don't doubt the word of the will of God either. But you have to know it. And there are times when you get an idea, a thought, and it sure does sound good. And you truly believe, well, it's got to be the will of God because, well, it makes sense. So you begin to act on that thing. But there are also times when you're very wrong. And the thing that you decided to do, it made sense to you, even though it didn't make sense to anybody else, but it made sense to you. So you did it. And I know that in the past, when things like that have happened with me, and I've made a mistake, and I mean, look, it always comes back to bite you, as they say. And sometimes it bites harder than others. Then you scratch your head and think, well, how could I have made a mistake? How could I have blown it? A lot of Christians, they cover it by saying, well, God changed His mind. Or He changed the way He does stuff. Or, you know, whatever. Because they don't want to admit they've been wrong. This is one of the lessons that I've learned. And for me, I tend to drag my feet more than be proactive. I would rather be behind God than in front of Him. Because if I'm behind Him, I can still see Him. But if I'm in front of Him, I don't know if He's gone the other direction. And there I am. And, come on, God, let's go. Come on, God, let's go. Turn around, you know, God. You know, what's going on here? Where'd you go? You're supposed to be following your will, remember? Well, when it comes to discovering the will of God, sometimes we have these thoughts and we wonder, is this God or is this me? I'm not sure. There are times when it is a me thought and things don't turn out terribly. And there's almost a downside to that. Because if we have a me thought and things don't turn out terribly, we can think that was God. I mean, after all, nothing bad happened. Okay, well, is it possible that your me thought, which resulted in nothing bad happening, actually took you off in the wrong direction to where you set things in motion that don't seem bad, but in reality, it's not God's will? The more you talk about it like this, the more complicated it can sound. But it's not as complicated as what we might think. For myself, yes, there are times where I'll have ideas, ministry-related ideas. And I think, well, this is a good idea. This will work. This is something, yes, amen. But I don't jump on it. I wait. I just wait. Because if it truly is God's will, then one of the things that will happen, I will be able to monitor myself spiritually relative to that thought I had. And I'm just going to tell you guys right now, there's a chance that for each of us, We've done more that's not God's will than what is God's will. But thankfully, He knows the beginning from the end. And He knows when we're going to make those wrong decisions. He doesn't, bless the wrong decisions. But He's there to help us out. Even if the wrong decision doesn't result in bad consequences, He's still there to help us. Well, this brings up a question. How can I know God's will? I want to be able to discern the difference between a me thought and a God thought, something that's Spirit-led instead of demon-driven, something that is, that's what I'm supposed to do. Now, I'm going to give you a clue, a heads up, for all of you. Me, you here, you listening to this, you watching. When you begin to feel pressure to do stuff or to get things done, some way, somewhere, somehow, you have missed God. God will not ever put pressure on you. He is a God of peace. He cannot give you confusion because He is not the author of confusion. Demons will push and prod and drive. There is no pressure in the kingdom of God. Pressure comes when we begin paying more attention to circumstances than God. And how many of us can bear witness with that one? Hallelujah. I have been accused at times over the years of being too inactive, of being too passive, of not doing enough. And there is a reason for that. It's because I am trying to discern the will of God. I have had so many opportunities to do something stupid. Long time ago, years ago, I did a lot of stupid stuff. But that's changed. Now, some of you may think, I kind of still think you're doing a lot of stupid stuff. And I can understand that, really, because there were times in the life of Jesus when the apostles thought He was doing stupid stuff. How are we supposed to feed all these people? Well, Jesus, He's dead. So, we need to figure out what to do so that we can begin differentiating between a me thought and a God thought, a me will and a God will, a leading of the Spirit as opposed to a driving of a demon. Now, even if you know what God's will is, when you begin to sense pressure, people use the term, I got a deadline. When you begin to feel pressure, God's not in that, ever. Ever. Because the only thing that He will give you is peace, and there's always peace accompanying His will. So therefore, when you begin to feel that pressure, and it'll try to creep up on anybody, I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord, it will try to creep up on you. When you begin to feel that, I'm telling you right now, the best thing to do is stop and begin to worship. Begin to worship, begin to praise, and usher in that peace that passes all understanding. Now open to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This whole process of discovering the will of God is not complicated, and it's not difficult, but it is a process, and it takes time. The reason it takes time is because we have not, as Christians, we're at various levels of knowing how to trust our new nature over our emotions. When you learn to trust your new nature more than your emotions, it is inevitable that somebody is going to accuse you of not caring, not loving, not this, not that, when the truth is, you're doing what you're supposed to do. But most Christians, really, I would say most, just don't understand this. And it's not that they're bad people, but they don't understand this. Now let's look here in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, beg you, plead with you, urge you, encourage you. Therefore, brethren, fellow believers in Christ, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A lot of people want to know, well, what can I do to serve God? Well, here's one thing you can do. Present your body a living sacrifice. And he says that this is acceptable unto God, which means God approves, and it is reasonable for us to do that. It makes perfect sense. Offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, that obviously means we don't, injure ourselves, kill ourselves. And really what this is talking about is grabbing a hold of the emotions that want to do anything and everything other than seek God. And we all know what that's like. In fact, I would say there's a good chance we battle that every day. Sometimes more so than others. Got to get this done, got to do this, got to, this thing there and forth. Let me tell you something. Satan will work really hard to load you with false responsibility. The feelings of, I got to get this done. But do you really? Do you really? See, part of this whole thing of learning how to be led by the Spirit of God, I'm talking about your new nature. Because your new nature is one with God's nature. I mean, the Bible says so. We're one with Him. One of the things to do in this is begin asking yourself questions. I feel like I need to do this. Why? Why do I feel like I need to do this? Why do I feel like I have to do this? Why? Or why do I feel like I have to do it right now? Right now. Let me just give you an example. It's kind of a very simple example. Well, you're getting ready to go someplace. And you say, oh, I forgot to check the mail. So you go out, you check the mailbox. Oh, there's the mail. So you get the mail, you bring it in. Now, you've got a choice of what you can do. You can sit down and start going through the mail, or you can lay it aside and go do what it was that you were going to go do. Do you realize that if you take that mail and put it aside, there could be something in you that's like, but I need to know what's in there. But, I need, there might be bills to pay. Okay, praise God. Guess what? Those bills are going to sit there and wait for you to come back home. Well, there might be a letter from somebody. That's right. And that letter will be waiting for you when you get back home. You see what I'm getting at? But there's that something like, well, I just pulled it out of the mailbox, so I got to go through it right now. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to. Now, you may want to, and if you have time, whatever. But if there's something else that you were going to, go out to get, you're going to go eat or something. Well, eating couldn't wait. Well, it wasn't waiting a few minutes ago. Because a few minutes ago, you're getting ready to walk out the door, which means you were getting ready to leave at that moment to go eat. Now, all of a sudden, eating can wait. Now, I'm not trying to make this too dramatic. I'm using that as an example of how we can get sidelined by a lot of things that aren't as important for the moment as we think. That happens to us, this whole thing of present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present my body a living sacrifice. God, I am coming to you, and I'm going to be spending some time with you, and everything in me is saying, no. My emotions, my feelings, You know, I would much rather deal with this pile of laundry. I would much rather deal with that. I'd much rather deal with this thing here. I'd much rather, my feelings are to do that stuff. But you know what? I'm going to present those feelings as a living sacrifice to be with you. And I'm telling you, sometimes that's an out and out war on the inside. Just, you know, it's almost like in the Old Testament, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with it. Why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? Consider the goodness of God and praise Him. So, an inner conflict. Well, listen, if we don't learn to start winning those inner conflicts, you know what? Not a whole lot's going to change. But he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Well, what's going to happen when I do this? Well, in verse 2 he says, and be not conformed, or do not remain conformed to this world, its way of thinking, doing, operating, functioning, but be ye transformed, experience a metamorphosis by the renewing of your mind. That word mind, it essentially is talking about your thought process, your way of thinking, your way of analyzing, your way of differentiating, your whole way of thinking about things. Because when you do that, ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I've heard people in the past teach about, well, you know, you've got to, you know, being in the good will of God is a wonderful thing. But, you know, you got to move on into the acceptable and then later on into the perfect. And people, amen, yes, amen. So, you know, go through the congregation after a service like that and just ask them, what is God's good will for you? Let's not even talk about perfect. What is God's good will for you? And you know what? They're going to look at you and say, I don't know. Or they'll stumble and stand. Well, I'm a homeowner. If I'm supposed to be working my way to the perfect, I need to start with the good. So what is God's good will for you? Well, most people don't know. All right, well, let's put it like this. Let's think of it this way. Let's say that we're talking about moving into the will of God, and God is describing that will three different ways, not three different stages. This is my good, acceptable, and perfect will. I'm talking about a singular entity called my will for you. I call it good, I call it acceptable, and I call it perfect. I'm using all three of those terms to describe the same thing. I'm not using those three terms to describe different levels of my will. You see what I'm saying? All right, now we're going to look at it that way here tonight. And he says, don't remain conformed to this world. As long as I am approaching this whole thing of the will of God with all of these questions, with all of these doubts, with all of this whatever, I mean, really I'm doing it the world's way. I have a tendency to analyze what I believe is God's will relative to the circumstances I'm facing. And many times we decide what God's will is based upon what we want. Here is the outcome I'd like to see. Therefore, God's will must be such and such so that I can attain to that outcome that I want. Well, you know, we do that. We all do that. We've all done it. Maybe we don't still do it, but we've done it. But he says, look, you're born again. Your spirit has been changed. Don't remain conformed to the way the world analyzes everything. Be transformed. Be changed. Well, my spirit's already been changed. So he's talking about something else that needs to be changed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mental process. When that is done, you will be able to prove What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? That word prove. It's talking about, let's say, the me idea or the God idea. I'm going to be able to take that idea and think of this in terms of a piece of metal. Let's call it gold. A piece of gold. And I want to prove this gold. Part of the proving process is removing the impurities. So I take this idea and I begin to prove it. I begin to test it. How? Through a mindset that has changed. So now what I'm doing is I'm taking this idea, and I don't know if it's a me idea or a God idea. You know, these people that are, every time you talk to them, they're constantly, God told me this, God told me that, God told me this, God told me that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Listen closely to what I'm getting ready to say and don't get mad at me. God doesn't talk that much.
You say, well, I know for an absolute...
No, wait a minute. We are to be led by the Spirit, not the voice. And this is where many Christians miss it. They're constantly looking to hear something from God. We are to be led by the Spirit. Another way to say that is the inner witness of God's perfect peace in our heart. That's where we're after, see. Christians who are frustrated, I just don't know what to do. There's a disruption of the peace right there. Think of it another way. How many times do you think Jesus sat around and said, fellas, you got to pray for me, man. I'm not sure what to do here. Or guys, come on, let's show hands. Let's see if we can hear God. How many times do you think Jesus demonstrated a lot of the frustration that Christians today do because he didn't know what to do? Do you think Jesus went around all day long, yes, God, yes, Father, yeah, uh-huh, yes, talking up to the air? Seriously, no. He demonstrated what it's like to be led by that inner witness, that peace, the Spirit of God. God talks, all right, don't misunderstand me. But he doesn't talk the way some people make it sound. It's some people, the way they talk, they're hearing his voice 24/7. Well, it's not. Look, if somebody was coming up to me and say, well, no, I know for a fact you're wrong. I know for a fact you're wrong. Because part of God getting us to trust him is his silence. Trust me that I know what I'm doing. But I want to hear your voice. You need to sense my presence. You need to learn to be led. Okay, when you were a kid and you're growing up, didn't you get to the point in life of knowing what your mom and dad did and did not want you to do? You didn't have to ask them, Mom, is it okay if I jump up and down on the bed? You already knew. And there were some things where maybe you've never had a conversation with mom and dad about this particular something, but you just know on the inside, mom and dad wouldn't like it if I did that. All right, see, that's where we're headed in this relationship with God. This place of having that knowing on the inside. Now, he says, you have to get to the place of renewing your mind or altering your mindset. So what are we after in this? When it comes to this whole thing of renewing our mind, well, every one of us can think. I mean, lost people think. But as Christians, you know, it's just amazing. Sometimes you have new converts and almost immediately they think they know everything that God wants, that God is saying, and all these other things. And you know, you don't want to just quench the fire, but you have to use wisdom to help them temper the zeal. Well, again, remember now, folks, this is a growing process. It's not an overnight thing. So here I am, my mindset needs to change. Well, if it needs to change, my way of thinking, my way of analyzing situations, my just everything about the way I think about things, life, whatever. What's it supposed to change to? If it's supposed to change from the way it is, what's it supposed to change to so that I can discern or prove or analyze the thoughts to know whether or not what I'm thinking is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? What's the goal in this? The goal, in another place, in 1 Corinthians, it's stated as the mind of Christ. Another way to say that is thinking the way God thinks. Well, that sounds kind of like a lofty task. To think the way God thinks? How in the world? No one can know God's ways. Well, sure you can. What, you know this book that I'm guessing you have with you tonight? This book we call the Bible? Do you know what this is? Yes, it's the Holy Word of God. That's true. But it is also a revelation of God's ways. And the Word of God is also a revelation of God's mind. Well, it has to be. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is it not? So, God thought about what He wanted to say, and then He spoke it. And people wrote it down. Now we have the Bible. The Bible is a revelation of the way God thinks, but not only the way He thinks, the way He analyzes. It's also a way that He examines situations and comes to a conclusion. This is, the Bible is the mindset of God. Now we also know that Scripture is living. I mean, Jesus said, "My words are spirit, they are life." We know that the Bible is a living organism. Now, in our human way of analyzing things, like He said here, you know, don't remain conformed to this world, this world's way of thinking. To our human way of thinking, what we look at here is a piece of paper, and it's got some numbers on it, it's got some words in it, and the words are arranged in a way that I can recognize them as sentences, paragraphs, statements, questions, and so forth. That's how I see it. And initially, that is how my mind analyzes this. But in reality, see, you can take, if you just read through a passage of Scripture, all of the words that you'll find in the Bible, maybe not all of the names, but the words, you will find them in other books in libraries. Same words. Especially if you get books that were written many, many, many years ago with, you know, the Elizabethan English and grammar and all of that. But you'll find these same words in other books. But they don't have God's life because He's not the one who inspired the use of these words for this purpose called Scripture. Because God used these words for His purpose, He put His life into these words. These words carry and are God's life. Now see, our minds, our way of thinking, our human, the world way of looking at this, we think, what? You know, how can this be, I mean, I don't hear a heartbeat. How can this be alive? You're asking me to give an explanation that I can't because it is beyond human mindset explanation. The human mind cannot explain this because it is God mind origin. I know you understand what I'm getting at. So that's just like, you know, well, how can there be a Trinity? You know, you're talking about three gods. No, I'm talking about one God. One God who represents himself to me as Father, who represents himself to me as Son, and who represents himself to me as Holy Spirit. Well, I just don't understand that. Of course you don't. It's God. That kind of thing doesn't work in the world. Other than the fact that, you know, I'm husband, I am father, and I am brother. You know, I represent myself differently to different people. Well, even that falls way short of trying to explain this thing. So you can't put it into a human way. But as I begin to renew my mind, I get to the place of being able to discern, differentiate, and understand the difference between a me thought and a God thought. A me will or God's will. But he says, you've got to renew your mind. So if I don't renew my mind, I'm hindering my ability to know the will of God. What is the best way for me to renew my mind? It's the Word of God. Now, we know this by virtue of how we've been raised. Let me explain. When we were going to school, they were teaching us things like, biology or chemistry. You got the formulas for chemistry? You had the periodic table of elements. And if you take the periodic table of elements and you take the elements and, you know, a certain amount of molecules from this thing mixed with a certain amount of molecules of this thing and then the other one and put them together, you end up with, you know, something else. Well, what you have to do, first off, they want you to memorize the periodic table of elements. And I don't know about you, but that was just boring to me. I didn't want to do that. Then they begin teaching you how the protons and the electrons and the neutrons and all the other trons operate, move, spin, twist, turn, blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Well, what I'm getting at is you keep at it and you keep at it and you keep at it and eventually you change the way you think and you don't look at materials or substances the same way ever again. Especially like an area of fluids. And when you're carrying on a discussion with somebody, you are able to help explain why gasoline does what it does. You're able to explain the difference between diesel and gasoline. You're able to explain the difference between diesel, gasoline, and jet fuel. And you'll do it, well, because of the molecules and the blah, blah, and the yeah, 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 and the whatever. Why is that? Because your thinking has been changed. This is what God's trying to get across to us. In the natural, we change our thinking so that we think more along the lines of a chemist or a doctor. And even with doctors, their minds have been changed to think along the line of, say, the heart surgeon or the foot doctor or the eye doctor or whatever. And if you go to an eye doctor, I mean, he went to medical school, he can write prescriptions, all of that. But you start telling him about, you know, the problems with your feet, he's going to say, I don't know. I mean, I'll help you with your eyes, but you need to go see a podiatrist. And you say, well, why should I do that? You're a doctor. Yeah, but I specialized in something else. My way of medical thinking is eyes or ears or, you know, whatever. Well, see, my way of thinking is human. And God says, you need to change that. Because if you want to be able to clearly differentiate between what you think is my will and what is my will, even if somebody walks up to you and says, yes, the Lord says to you this night, blah, blah, etc., and whatever they prophesy over you, you need to be able to differentiate as to whether or not that is truly a word from God or somebody's thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, or whatever. And he says, look, you've got to renew your mind. You can be born again on your way to heaven and live your whole Christian life without a renewed mind. The Word of God is alive. It is living. Now look, guys, this is me too. See, a lot of times people think, well, you know, the pastor, well, he's the pastor. Well, you know, of course he knows what God wants. Hey, there are times I sit back and I think, okay, now, is this really what God wants or not? God, I need you to help me out here. I need to understand the difference. You know, what am I really sensing here? I mean, is this what you want me to do? Yeah, I go through that too. All of us do. Now, the more we renew our mind, the less we go through all of that. But remember, it is a process. Now, here's what's interesting. I can take the Bible and I just begin to read. And just begin to read. And read, read, read. And read, read, read. And just read. I don't even have to understand what all the words mean. I don't even have to be able to pronounce all the names. Just read. I begin to read. You know what's happening? I'm renewing my mind. See, with God's Word being life, then what it's doing, it's releasing life into my mind. So let me say it like this. Dead way thinking is being replaced by living thinking. Now, I'm not saying your thoughts are just dead, stupid thoughts. I'm not saying that. I'm trying to, you know, illustrate a point here. So, living thinking now begins living in me. I begin thinking this way. My mind has been changed. It is a process. But it doesn't take intense Bible study to do this. Now, intense Bible study can help, I agree. But just simply reading allows me to become more and more familiar with the way God thinks, with the way God analyzes. Just simply reading. Now, if anybody in this room is convicted over this, well, I'm right there with you, okay? Because I need to read more. I freely admit it. I freely confess it. And the more I do, the more that this is going to be transforming my mind, and I get to the place of being able to prove, comprehend, understand, discern, dissect the difference between my thoughts and God's thoughts, and know the perfect, the good, the acceptable, the will of God, I'll know it. I'll come to the place of knowing it. And it won't be guesswork anymore. I mean, listen, every one of us, we've been in those places where we've done something and we thought for sure it was God, and somebody asked us about it, and we're, oh yeah, you know, this is what God wanted me to do, but on the inside there's still that little, oh, I hope this is what God wanted me to do. But I don't want to look indecisive here, so yes, this is what God told me to do. So I need to be able to do this. Now, this isn't simply a matter of me understanding my ministry calling. This is a matter of knowing the will of God for life. Even if you're 3 years away from knowing what your ministry calling is, meaning, you know, you keep pressing into God and 3 years from now, you'll know what it is. Not because he's holding back, but because you're pressing into that knowledge. And I just said that as an example. The thing is, we need to know the will of God for us now. You know, God, you know, boy, my wife and I, we've been talking about going on vacation. Should we take a vacation? Should we go? He'll let you know. He'll let you know, no, don't do it in June, do it in July. No, don't go to California, go to, you know, Florida. I don't know. Now somebody leave this place. God spoke to Pastor Jim, and he said we're supposed to go to Florida. Pastor Jim did not say that. Do you guys understand what I'm getting at? This is a way for us to get past that, man, I wish I knew what God wanted. I just wish I understood. Well, by renewing our mind. Renewing our mind. You know, a lot of people will spend a lot of time in prayer, seeking the will of God. I prayed for hours. I still don't know what God wants. Well, praise God for the prayer. You didn't waste any time. However, understanding and knowing the will of God must incorporate the renewing of our mind. So it's not wrong to pray, and you didn't waste time praying. Have you ever considered praying very, very, very whispery, softly in the Spirit while you read your Bible? You know, kill two birds with one stone, as they say. You're renewing your mind, and you're edifying yourself spiritually at the same time. The key in this, what we're focusing here on tonight, is renewing our mind. And just because we got saved doesn't mean we automatically are thinking the way God wants us to. You know, one of the reasons, or I was praying one time, and I've shared this before, but, you know, God, why is it, you know, so many Christians, they just struggle with their thought life? And he said it's because they have more world input than they do word input. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I truly believe that a lot of Christians who say they're struggling with, let's just say, clinically diagnosed mental problems, all right? We'll just leave it general like that. I truly believe a lot of that could be solved by renewing their mind. I truly believe that. I believe a lot of Christians who are taking drugs for mind stuff, I believe they could get off the drugs if they'd renew their mind. I mean, remember, this is living. This is the Word of God. I can't explain it, but it is. This is the life of God in print form. That's a miracle. But when you're God, you can do things like that. So I want to encourage all of you tonight in this. It is possible to know the will of God and not worry about it. But it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Now, I know that's the frustrating thing. I want it to happen, and I want it to happen now. You know, God, give me patience and give it to me now. It's a process. It's just like when you were 6 years old, they didn't hand you a diploma that you graduated from high school. You had to pass all the stuff. Then they gave you the diploma. Well, that's kind of the way it is here with this. But the thing is, with this being spiritual, between renewing our mind with the Word of God and praying in the Spirit, we can accelerate the change. And we can get to that place of knowing, knowing what it is God wants. And again, not just His call upon our lives, but just living, just life, just everything, everything. So guys, be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged to know there is a way to get past the doubt. And if we start renewing our minds more and more, then that change is going to come.